Welcome to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in the downtown east side on unceded Coast Salish territories, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, January 3rd, 2014. I'm Jackie and I'm joined here in studio today by Jenny.
Hello.
Cynthia.
Howdy.
And Allison.
Hi there.
Welcome everyone. Animal Voices is Vancouver's and Western Canada's only animal advocacy and compassionate living radio program, bringing you all the animal and vegan-related news, events, interviews, lifestyle, and commentary you need to keep you up to date on what's happening both locally and internationally. We at Animal Voices encourage the movement toward a world in which non-human animals are treated with compassion and mercy and are afforded the basic right to live free from exploitation. This program can be heard every Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and is also streamed live at coopradio.org and available as podcasts on iTunes and animalvoices.org after airing. So welcome to 2014, everyone. Today is our New Year show, which we will reflect on some of the pivotal moments of 2014 for us and the animals and also speak of our intentions for 2014 and provide some tips and guidance on ways to help the animals in 2014 and possibly help you follow through with some of your new goals for the year. Also, later on the show, we'll have the family of Esther the Wonder Pig. If you haven't heard of Esther, she has a Facebook page with over 20,000 likes, and they only created the page a month ago. Oh, and she's a pig, of course. We'll speak with them about Esther's story, how she impacted their life, and their plans for the future. So we have a great show for you today, so please stay tuned.
Yes, and I just wanted to wish everyone a Happy New Year as well. And for me, I just love the new year. It's that time of the year where we, you know, we begin a new annum, and with that, it comes new starts and hopefully a rejuvenated outlook on what we can do to improve ourselves and, of course, what we can do to help those who can't help themselves, our non-human animal friends. So we have some suggestions to share with you on some easy New Year's resolutions that you can make this year to help the animals, inspired partially by an article on onegreenplanet.org that I saw last week. So the first suggestion is to resolve to learn about a new issue and become a more effective advocate for the animals. And when I saw this suggestion, this resonated with me right away, as I'm sure it does with all you three there, right? Because that's what we do here every week at Animal Voices, or at least me. Well, I'm sure all you do too, is we actually take it upon ourselves to learn as much as we can about the subjects that we are presenting on in the interviews that we're doing, because that takes a lot of research. And I think that's just a great suggestion, because with all of this information comes empowerment and the ability to pass it on to others and to educate them. And I know for me, that's what my activism entails, is to really learn the facts about something so that you know what you're speaking about when people ask you questions that may sound like silly questions, but they're valid questions to them, such as, Jackie, fur. Do people ask you questions about fur when you're doing your fur protests? And as a result, have you felt that you wanted to empower yourself with having the knowledge about that?
Yeah, I find like with any issue, when you go to be at protests or any sort of outreach event and people are asking you questions, especially when you're new to the movement, you don't always know the answers right away, but it inspires you to learn more so that next time you have an awesome comeback.
I think definitely too, as people who care about animals and animal advocates, I feel that it is our responsibility to know about these issues. Mm-hmm. So one of my New Year's resolutions that is related to this one is I just want to do more reading this year. I love reading, and I have like tons of books that I never read, and I want to resolve to read. Usually when I read books, there usually are animal rights books, so I want to resolve to read more books and thus more animal rights books this year so that I can empower myself with knowledge. So our second resolution that we suggest is to resolve to volunteer more, but not just more effectively is the key there, I think. So I personally advise this one with caution, because I know that for myself, time management's a big issue for me. And I know I already volunteer a lot, probably more than I can responsibly handle. And I wonder if this is the same for most people, maybe, maybe not. I was curious to know how many people in our country, in Canada, actually do volunteer for a charitable cause. And I was surprised to find out that in a survey conducted in 2010 by the Canadian government on the subject of volunteering, that 47% of Canadians actually actually volunteer their time for a charitable organization. So that's not bad, but it does mean that it means that 53%, that's more than half, aren't volunteering. And I wonder how many people, the people that are they doing it for the animals? So we can certainly choose the charitable causes that we wish to support. And I advocate spending whatever amount of time you can for the animals, because the animals really need us. But I want to point out, too, that I know Jackie and Cynthia, for example, and Jenny, too, you've all taken it upon yourselves this past year to make your own volunteer opportunities. So while I first advise people who are brand new to volunteering is to check out your local animal welfare, animal rescue groups, animal rights groups, and vegan outreach groups to see what help they need, because they're all volunteer organizations. People aren't getting paid to do this work, and they rely on volunteers. So I suggest that as a first step, but maybe you can offer some suggestions to then make your own volunteer opportunities for the animals.
Well, I was also going to mention, it sounds like the stats are for only charity recognized organizations.
Yeah, and that's all I could find. Yeah.
So there's probably the perception, or probably the percentage is a lot higher than what we're seeing here, especially with animal rights groups. And a lot of them aren't necessarily charitable. They don't have charitable status because, you know, the government doesn't want to support a lot of things that they do. So yeah, and I would inspire people, if you feel motivated and you feel like you have the confidence, or, you know, just to, I guess, once you volunteer with a group, get the empowerment to do your own stuff, like find what matters to you and just do it. Get a group together and, you know, do it.
And remember, we said to resolve to volunteer more effectively. Don't just sign up for every single thing that you want to do. I know I've really put limits on my time like that in recent years. If you feel you can't handle it, self-care is important. Jenny, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that a really great resolution is to try and be your best self for the animals this year and really focus on taking care of your health and your time management so that you can be an effective advocate for the animals, because I think when you are feeling your best, then people will notice that and it will reflect positively on the animal rights movement.
So our next suggestion is to resolve to eat more ethically. Of course, this is something that we speak about lots here on the Animal Voices show. You know, truly one of the most effective things that we can do to help animals is to stop eating them. So I recommend listening to this show, because we talk about this is a huge thing that can't be covered in just a few minutes. There are so many resources out there. Get fantastic vegan cookbooks and recipes on blogs to figure out what to eat. Take baby steps if you need to, Meatless Mondays, Vegan Before 6, or just jump right into it. There's so many suggestions. I won't totally get all into all of them, but I just, when I was thinking about this one, I realized that this week is actually my 20th vegetarianversary. Ooh. And that means I started delving into a plant-based diet in September 1993, and on January 1st, 1994, I resolved to go fully vegetarian and then later vegan. And look at me now. That was 20 years ago. 20 years and 2 days ago, it was the best choice I ever made in my whole life, and happy anniversary to me.
Happy big anniversary.
I've never looked back since then, so I hope I can inspire others out there to do the same. And then our fourth suggestion is to resolve not to buy products that are tested on animals. So how do you know if products have been tested on animals? Beauty products, for example. I do a lot of label reading, but Jackie, you're even saying that you can't really count on that all the time, right?
Products, they don't necessarily put it on the label. I would always just check out Leaping Bunny. I think it's leapingbunny.com. They have a pretty inclusive list, but even some of that is not always on there. So I would just contact the companies if you're curious.
And also, as a vegan, you should be careful, because just because it's cruelty-free, not testing animals, it may actually have animal products in it. I've made that mistake before.
And then it's still not cruelty-free.
Yeah, my mom actually for Christmas got me this lip balm, and she's like, it's cruelty-free, but it had beeswax in it. And I was like,
I think it's important, too, to always read the product label, too, because I was at Lush recently, and there was a product that was labeled with the vegan symbol on the product display, and then I brought it home, and I realized it had milk ingredients in it, so there must have been a mislabel.
And again, empower yourself with knowledge and learn what all those mysterious ingredients that are actually derived from animal products are that you might not know. And I think we should actually do a show on that. It's something that's been on the back of my mind.
Well, my rule is, if you can't pronounce it, don't buy it.
Yeah, and the more ingredients it has, the strange thing is that they will like rename like crushed beetles is called food coloring number something, right? And they'll
it's usually labeled as carmine.
Yeah, and carmine too. Yeah, you're right. But in food, it's food coloring, and they will natural flavorings. That doesn't mean. Like it comes from plants. It could be naturally from cow fat. So where food is involved. So take it upon yourselves to learn what all those weird ingredients are about. Finally, a resolve to boycott circuses and other animal exploitation venues. And we talk about this just sort of on the forefront of films like Blackfish that have come out this year that have exposed cruelty of SeaWorld to the masses. And I think that the more people learn about these issues, the more normalized they become in our society to speak about and to speak against. So when instead of visiting one of these venues is to visit an animal sanctuary instead. And we have lots of experience, all of us, in doing that. But then also is to speak out when you to boycott places that sell animals as entertainment, because the more that we speak our voices, the more, like I said, the more normalized it'll become and people will listen, just as they are starting to with films like Blackfish coming out. That's all I have.
That's some great suggestions. Thanks, Allison.
Drishti Point is a radio program featuring interviews about yoga, spirituality, and wellness. Our guests include yogis, authors, musicians, healers, and renowned spiritual teachers. Tune in Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. for your weekly dose of yoga wisdom and inspiration.
You are listening to the Animal Voices program here on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Welcome back. I wanted to bring you some events now that are coming up in the greater Vancouver area. First off, coming up soon on Tuesday, January 14th at 6:30 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Vancouver Vegan Support Circle at Eternal Abundance on Commercial Drive. And Jackie here is actually one of the organizers, and I understand this event is going to be a little bit different from the past ones. Can you tell us a bit about the changes happening?
Yeah, so it's not too much different. Basically, we're trying to get a core group of regular attendees just so that we can go a little bit deeper, people can build a bit more trust with each other. So this one will be a start of a regular group. If you can't make this one but would like to regularly attend, just contact myself or Alyssa on the Facebook group. And also, there will continue to be a drop-in as well. Yeah.
Very cool. Also coming up in the future, Animal Advocacy Camp will be a practical attendee-led event where you get to set the agenda and host discussions about what you want to talk about, so you can share stories, ideas, and experiences, and also learn from the experiences of others. So this event will be happening at the Croatian Cultural Center on Victoria Drive on Saturday, March 22nd and Sunday, March 23rd, beginning at 10 a.m. and ending at 6 p.m. And you can get tickets for that on Eventbrite. It's now posted, so check out Eventbrite for more info on that event.
Or just go to animaladvocacycamp.ca, and then there will be a link there to get your tickets.
And also coming up in the future, there's going to be an animal-related TV program coming up. So on January 9th at 8 p.m. on The Nature of Things, they're premiering a documentary sequel to For the Love of Elephants. So the sequel is called How to Be a Wild Elephant, and that's going to be on David Suzuki's program on CBC, The Nature of Things, on January 9th at 8 p.m. So it's going to showcase things about elephant poaching and spread awareness about some people doing good work to stop this atrocity from happening. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Great.
Thanks, Jenny. So on to the news from 2013. So there was a lot of great stuff that happened for the animals in 2013, and I'm just going to cover as many as I can. The first one I think that was pretty big was ag gag laws. So this was in the U.S., and if you don't know what ag gag laws, they're dangerous because they criminalize the work done by activists and undercover journalists. So they make it impossible for undercover journalists to go and take video. And so I got some information about it because there was so much that had happened. There was about 15 ag gag bills were introduced in 11 states. So some states had more than one. So the animal agriculture, the dairy and meat industry was really trying to stop the bills by even having two or three stop ag gag by having, to introduce ag gag by having two or three bills in each state. But interestingly, not a single one passed. So they didn't get votes or they were either vetoed. And this is because all the great work that animal rights activists did to protest these bills. It was amazing. HUS, a whole bunch of different organizations came together, and different organizations as well as environmental groups like Food and Water Watch were also involved. Unfortunately, now they're trying to keep activists off the farms in other ways. Recently, Compassion Over Killing Taylor Ruddick was charged because they're saying now that if you don't turn over video within 24 to 48 hours, you're participating in animal cruelty, which is just ridiculous. I know, Allison, you had heard something on Our Hen House about what they had said
about
that.
Yeah, about the story on the Our Hen House podcast, which is an amazing podcast, ourhenhouse.org. Marianne Sullivan, who's one of the hosts, she made a really interesting point saying that, I guess then all people who work in factory farms and slaughterhouses should be charged with animal cruelty because they're all witnessing animal cruelty and not reporting it within 48 hours. There's some food for thought for you.
Yes, definitely. Also making big news is Blackfish. I know we discussed it a little bit earlier, but if you don't know what Blackfish is, it's a documentary about animal cruelty that exposes SeaWorld and sheds some light on what happens to the mental state of these animals when they're held in captivity. The film examines the ethics of keeping 12,000-pound animals in captivity, as well as SeaWorld's history of killer whales attacking their trainers. As a result of this documentary, SeaWorld has finally faced mass criticism, with celebrities tweeting and even canceling shows at SeaWorld. It was great just a few, I think it was last month, where they had all the petitions on change.org to get different groups like Bare Naked Ladies to end their concerts at SeaWorld, which they actually did, which is awesome. And activists also made news by trying to stop the SeaWorld float at two major parades in the U.S., the Thanksgiving and the New Year's Day parade. And CNN aired Blackfish, I think it was over two weekends, about four times each, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that was free for people to watch.
And it's now also available on American Netflix, which is pretty cheap to subscribe to. So you can watch it on American Netflix.
Exactly. And it made me really happy the other day because it was popular on Netflix and it had Blackfish.
Like, yay. Not only has it been shown on television, can you just imagine how many millions of people have seen it because of that? But it's also been nominated for an Academy Award for this coming year.
Oh, wow.
And there's the possibility that this film might actually win, but even just the fact that it's been nominated for an Academy Award is huge, I think. But can you imagine if it wins? That'll just be amazing.
Yeah, and I would recommend checking out our interview from earlier this year with the filmmaker of that,
Gabriella Copperwaith.
Yeah.
That was a really good interview.
Great.
I think it's also really great that it's getting more popular in the mainstream. I was at a random Christmas party yesterday, and some people at the party were mentioning how everyone should see Blackfish, and they weren't related to animal rights at all, just like regular people, and they were really concerned about the animals. And
doesn't that just
really
jar
well-informed.
You when you hear that so out of context?
I didn't have to say anything. Yeah. I'm usually the animal person, but I did not talk at all, and everyone talked about Blackfish. It was hilarious.
Well, and it's thanks to Blackfish, I believe, that the protest we did at the aquarium with yoga being held at the aquarium a few months ago, the reason it got so much news media was because of Blackfish. A lot of the news broadcasters who interviewed me mentioned Blackfish. And then, of course, Corey, who I helped organize the protest with, was on a panel with one of the producers from Blackfish. And so it's really becoming mainstream, which I think is great. And also connecting it not just to SeaWorld, but to other aquariums and realizing that all animals in captivity is not okay. Also making big news, which is close to home, is the WTO upholds a ban on steel products. So on November 25th in 2013, the World Trade Organization panel upheld the European Union's ban on steel products. That was enacted in 2009 and was supposed to take effect in 2010, but Canada filed a case against the EU with the WTO, claiming that the ban violated international trade agreements. However, the panel sided with the EU because a ban on steel products fell under the public morals exception. So that is great news.
Just speaking of that, we haven't discussed this, but did anyone see there's a petition going around? Because apparently the Canadian government wants to put seal meat in some supermarkets now in Canada. Do you know? And does anyone know about that?
I did see that online, actually. I was actually a little bit surprised because I'm not sure how effective that kind of campaign would be, because I feel like people wouldn't want to eat seal meat anyway. I hope so. Anyway,
I've never heard anything about this before, because as far as I know, seal meat is not very tasty. And is there a market for it? I want to know all about this. So maybe something we need to research more into.
Maybe it's because of this ban. They're trying to do something.
They are.
They have all this seal meat.
I think that's just a really ill-thought decision. It's ridiculous in my mind.
They're trying to use the whole seal, I think. You know, once they club them for the fur, they want to use the rest of the seal, too. So none of the seal is wasted.
And as far as I know, too, like, there's so many seal pelts, thousands of seal pelts that are just in storage in warehouses because there's no market for them. I don't think there's any market for seal meat to be eaten
there
either.
Hopefully we'll see an end soon.
And that would be great. Undercover investigations. Big year for undercover investigations. We started off the year with the MFA, which is Mercy for Animals Canada investigation of Canadian pig farms, which aired on W5. And because of the undercover investigation, Canada's eight largest grocery chains banned gestation crates from their pork supply chains following the release of the investigation in the pig farm in Manitoba. So that was great for pigs. And also, MFA also had a recent one with the Canadian Egg Factory, which made, which once again was on W5 and also made good news, made the news. And I think it was really important because people didn't realize we had battery cages in Canada. A lot of people think these things just happen in the U.S. So,
come on, people.
Yeah, and so people were quite shocked to see that this happened. Of course, then they tried to make it like it was some sort of isolated incidents, of course.
What, like battery cages?
Yeah.
Standard practice.
Yeah, it's standard practice. And, you know, people were like, oh, they just like to believe that it's just that one farm. But I think it's starting to really open people's eyes to these things happen in Canada.
So glad we found that one bad farm.
Yeah, exactly. or maybe they even tried to say that the investigators had set it up. There was that rumor. It's just ridiculous. Also, an undercover investigation showing rabbits being brutalized for Angora. PETA's undercover video of rabbits being plucked and shorn for their fur exposed the Angora industry and caused numerous retailers to stop selling the fluffy garments. While, of course, us vegans always already boycott Angora because it's an animal product, the PETA video showed a shocking mainstream audience how the terrorized, bleeding rabbits are treated on farms where their fur can be violently ripped from their skin while the rabbits scream in pain. And this is another viral video that I saw on many non-vegan Facebook pages, which I was also very happy to see when things become mainstream that even non-vegans, even if they're just starting to open their compassion and hopefully leading their way to veganism. Another news was cosmetic testing. So since last March, the use of animals to test cosmetics on the ingredients is banned in the UK and all other member states in the EU. So it's illegal to sell cosmetics within the EU that have been or contain ingredients tested on animals. Of course, we know the biggest problem lies in China as a huge market where animal testing is not only legal, it's mandatory. But recently, China has let up on some of their laws and they're allowing non-specialized cosmetic products in China to avoid testing and go through those same animal testing. So products within China don't have to be tested, but of course imported cosmetics are still not covered under this new proposal. However, it is a step in the right direction for animals in China. And then also, vegan in the mainstream. Veganism hit mainstream, I think, probably in 2012 as well, but in 2013, we had, of course, my favorite video, Bring It Down to Veganville. The skit that aired on SNL that went viral, that was on Facebook pages of everybody, and it was a song that not only talked about the health benefits, but also the ethical benefits of a vegan diet. At one point in the song, Justin Timberlake says, look, if you knew how meat was raised, you wouldn't eat it. And then he says, it's never too late to do the right thing, which I thought was huge.
They must have a real animal activist writing their songs for them on that show.
Well, I think Justin is vegetarian, vegan. It's so hard to...
I've heard that. Who knows?
Rumors, but yeah. And then also a mainstream video, which I actually, this is my favorite now I think about it. The little Brazilian boy named Luis who tells his mom he doesn't want to eat the octopus. And my favorite quote is, I don't like them to die. I like them standing up.
So cute.
That was pretty adorable.
Yeah, I had so many of my friends actually send me that video and say, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And I said I had. And I think it just
everyone's
shows.
Everyone's seen it.
Yeah, a lot of people have seen it. And I think it just shows you a little boy making the connection that the animals on his plate are the same animals that he loves in his stories or he sees out in the wild. And he doesn't want to eat them. He says that it's our responsibility to take care of them, to love them. So, yeah. Anybody else have any favorite stories that they want to share?
Well, there was a recent one. A butcher shop in Vancouver posted a quote from comedian Mike Kaplan, who we actually featured on the show this summer. You can check that out on our website, our show with Mike Kaplan and his comedy friends, Jack Sherwin. So they featured a quote from him, a joke that he'd made, but they didn't credit him. And he was doing it in a satirical way. He was talking about how, you know, vegans are always crying and lonely, and then they have to cry carefully so they don't ingest their own tears because that wouldn't be vegan. But the butcher shop was doing it more to promote their meat sales, so not the way that vegan comedian Mike Kaplan intended. But I thought that was pretty interesting, a local news story that's getting a lot of press for not crediting the writer.
Yeah. Personally, I guess one of my top moments would be this year when I went to Costa Rica, releasing little baby sea turtles. Yeah. That was such a memorable experience. And if anyone has the opportunity to go to South Central America, I highly recommend it. Or I think other places do it as well. But it was an amazing experience, and you're doing so much for these little guys. So, yeah.
Perfect. Great.
All right. And now we're just going to play a song called One Species by True Nature.
Time.
today on our show, as I mentioned earlier, for a feature interview, we have the family of Esther the Wonder Pig. Esther has become an online sensation, having well over 20,000 likes on Facebook and tons of shares amongst vegans and non-vegans alike. And their page has only been up for a month. In bringing Esther into their lives, her humans Steve and Derek have been remarkably impacted by her in many ways. It is such a beautiful story, and we have them here to share with us today. Hello, Steve and Derek, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having us.
Hello.
You're welcome. First of all, I want to ask you how Esther came to be a part of your life.
That's an interesting story, actually. I had a friend of mine on Facebook emailed me on a Friday evening, and she had got Esther as a pet for their family, but she just wasn't fitting in. So she asked if I was interested, and I said I'd give it a little bit of thought. But it was only a couple hours later she called me again and said somebody else had expressed interest, and I had first dibs, I guess, ultimately, but I needed to let her know right away. So I jumped on it and took her, and figured out how to let Derek know after the fact.
Great. And at what point did you realize that Esther was not a mini pig as initially thought?
We realized when we were at our biggest size dog crate that we were going to be experiencing something totally different that we had never planned for. So she just outgrew everything, and it happened very fast. And at that point, we had already fallen in love with her, so giving her up was certainly not an option.
Wow. How much does she currently weigh, just out of curiosity?
About 300 pounds.
Oh, wow. She's a big girl.
And she's a regular pink pig that you would see in farms, is that correct?
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And do you have any knowledge or ideas about her true past or where she came from?
We don't. We spoke to our vet. We took her to the vet within a week of having got her, and he's the first one kind of raised the alarm with her tail being cropped and figured that she probably came from an actual commercial farm and not a breeder or small family farm or something like that. He just based on the tail being cut, he figures she was from a commercial farm and probably a runt, because we were doing a growth chart on her just to kind of track and see what was happening and where she was going. And he did admit the growth was a little bit slower than what they expected on a full-size pig. So that's probably the only reason she actually got off the farm, is the fact she was a runt.
She's a very lucky girl.
She is a very lucky girl.
So before Esther came into your life, I'm just curious if you can tell me what your perception of pigs was in general.
We never really gave them much thought, unfortunately. I mean, they were just a farm animal, I guess, is the best way to put it. I mean, we weren't vegan or vegetarian before Esther came into our lives. It was just kind of, like I said, we didn't really give it much thought, which now looking back is heartbreaking, of course. But, they were just a farm animal in our minds, which is so wrong.
And how has Esther impacted your life then, since having her in your home?
It just opened up our eyes to how clever they are and how smart she is. And like I said, we have very little experience with animals other than dogs and cats. I mean, we always called ourselves animal lovers, but by no means had any experience other than, like I said, our dogs and cats. So Esther just made us think about everything else. And, if pigs are like this, and what about the cows? And, right down the line, it really made us give things some thought. That's for sure.
And did you decide one day to go vegan? How did that come about?
It was about 3 or 4 days, actually, after we had it in our homes. I was cooking bacon, unfortunately, on the stove, and it just dawned on me how wrong it was, and either of us could eat it. And it was at that moment that we decided that we would take on a vegetarian diet and move towards veganism. Every day we make smarter choices to help live cruelty-free.
That's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
And how did your other family members, such as your dogs and your cats that I see in all those photos, react to Esther when she was welcomed into your home?
They were fine. The cats pretty much just avoid her. There's never any real confrontation at all. At first, Esther was so food motivated. We had a little bit of trouble with the dogs and the food. But Esther learned really quickly where she kind of fell into the rank in the pack, so to speak, and settled in pretty quick. So there's the odd little dispute over beds or, you know, something like that. But, you know, they otherwise get along great. They cuddle together. And like you said, as you'll see in a lot of our pictures, they're no problems spending time together and being together. And, you know, we can leave them alone and not have to think much of it. It's great.
So speaking of food, what does Esther eat exactly? In one of your videos, I think I saw some treats being passed out, and I couldn't tell what they were. They looked like dog treats. But what does she eat?
Her diet is a pig kibble. It's like a farm farm pig kibble that they get.
Okay.
An awful lot like a rabbit food. And in that we mix barley, whole oats, and dried corn. And it's a mixture that she gets. And as well, she gets tons and tons of fresh fruits and vegetables. A lot of our friends and neighbors, they'll bring offerings over for her. And they'll, you know, they'll hold on to what they're going to discard in terms of fruits and veggies, the ends, and anything that's, you know, that's a little bit soft for human consumption, they'll bring over for her. So she gets tons of food that way from neighbors and friends. But in terms of treats, I mean, she's so food motivated. A baby carrot, you know, she will do anything for even a small sliver of that baby carrot. So she eats almost anything and anything that you would give her, but we certainly restrict her to fruits, vegetables, and our kibble.
She hates onions and potatoes.
Great. And can you share some of the challenges you encounter when living in your home with Esther?
At first, I think the biggest struggle for us was housebreaking and potty training with her. But we had never had a puppy. Any of our dogs were always rescues, and they were always a year or two old. We never had to deal with the housebreaking of a baby animal. So never mind a pig. And that was, I think, the biggest struggle for us. And you know, we can't deny on more than a few occasions it was pretty close. You know, are we doing the right thing, and can we do this? And, you know, it was a real struggle. And having to pig-proof everything as well. She's so smart. She can open her doors. She can open cupboards. If you drop something, if you drop a Cheerio under the couch, she will know it's there. She'll move that couch, and she'll find that Cheerio. So things like that, just having to be more aware. Even when our parents come and visit, purses have to be kept on tables if they've got gum or chapstick, because Esther will just wants to investigate. You know?
Oh, I've had a pig get into my purse before. Actually,
oh, yeah.
Actually, two times that I can
think
of.
Isn't it mind blowing?
Yeah, they're very food motivated, as you said.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's just a matter of being a lot more aware. We were learning as much as she was, right? Like I said, we had no experience with a pig, so we didn't know what we were doing. Yeah, big, big, big learning curve, that's for sure.
So does she have, like, a litter box, or does she go outside, or how do you handle that?
Nope, she goes out just like the dogs. She'll let us know. She'll go to the door and start to do her little grunts and squeals, and, you know, either she needs to pee or she wants out because she knows that we're going to throw her a little bit of kibble to help get her out the door. So, I mean, it's probably a bit of both. So, she, like I said, very smart. So.
Just to be clear, you don't live in a farmhouse, right? You live just in a regular, and you're in Toronto, is that correct?
That's right. We're in the Toronto area, and we certainly live in a residential area.
Okay.
So all of our neighbors around us grew up with Esther being, you know, a tiny piglet all the way up
right.
to where she is now.
They got told the same story as us. She's a mini pig. Don't worry.
Do you take, when Esther goes out, like, do you take her out for walks in the neighborhood? Is that just sort of a common sight with your neighbors?
Not at all. No, we did when she was a little bit smaller. As she got bigger, we didn't want to cause a scene, right, and just, you know, create ruckus. And so we just kind of keep her into ourselves. We've got a great size backyard. And like I said, our neighbors are fantastic with her. So they'll come over and visit and see her that way. But other than that, no, we try to keep her at the house.
Great. And you shared with us some of the challenges that you encounter when living with her. I just would like to hear, what are some of the best rewards from living with Esther?
Cuddling a pig every night. Best reward. That's so amazing to get to do that. I just mean every day is a new day with Esther, and we just feel so grateful to have her in our lives. I mean, initially it was a huge shock for me because Steve brought her home without any sort of consultation. So there was a learning curve there. But no, she certainly grew on me relatively quickly. Relatively quickly.
And I have to say, I've seen, or sorry, have you considered rescuing other farm animals in the future?
We definitely want to. Even before this whole Facebook page started and things kind of went a little bit nuts, as you said, the last couple of weeks, we really wanted to start our own sanctuary. So we're working really hard to try to get our ducks in a row on our side and be able to do that. We'd love to buy a farm outside of town and, you know, being able to save as many pigs primarily, but of course, you know, as many animals as we can.
You should come visit in Vancouver. We have a pig sanctuary called Hearts on Noses.
Amazing.
They're mini pigs usually.
Mini pigs, yeah. Usually. Also, well, they've had a few that weren't, I think, right?
Well, yeah. It's a huge problem, right, with people getting pigs. And in our situation where you think you're getting a mini pig and all of a sudden you end up with a pig like Esther. And most people I don't think can or would keep her and see it through. It's a huge commitment, and as you see, she's a big animal. There's no denying it, but so many of them get abandoned and end up in sanctuaries and shelters, and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. People don't do enough research, us included. You know, we didn't know what we were in for, and thankfully we're able to you know, make it work, or willing to make it work. So many people can't, aren't in a position to do it.
I've watched all of your videos on YouTube, and I notice that you keep saying, you keep sending out the message that you don't recommend that other people go out and do the same as what you've done. Why is that?
For just that reason, that they get something and they're not prepared for it. Pigs are so much work at first. I mean, now she's a breeze. She settles in. She's like the dogs. You know, we can leave her out overnight. She sleeps in the living room and, you know, makes herself comfortable on the couch. And, you know, but that first year was a super huge challenge. And, you know, you've got it's so different from having a dog when you first start and having to be aware of how your house is laid out and where you're leaving everything. And I think people are so quick to throw in the towel and just get rid of them and abandon them.
Well, I think Esther is very glad that you didn't, as are we. I just wanted to ask you quickly, how old is Esther now?
She's about 19 months.
Okay. Okay. So about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to ask you, I've seen so many Facebook pages devoted to cats and dogs, but this is the first one that I've come across for a pig. Can you share what inspired the idea for creating this page and what your hopes were for it?
It was just meant to be for friends and family, to be totally honest. People ask us all the time, you know, just in our social circle, how's Esther and what's happening with Esther? And that was all it was really meant to be. We've got some friends here in Toronto that work with Toronto Pig Save and at Cedar Row Farm Sanctuary that got involved and kind of shared it a little bit. And just the right people kind of grabbed on, and it spread like wildfire. So we had no idea it was going to become what it was. So we're just trying to wrap our heads around it now and figure out how to spread the message as far as we can, really.
And I've noticed the posts kind of have to have a unique voice to them. So how do you decide what to post on the page and what Esther's going to say every day?
Well, there's so many pages dedicated to bad news and terrible videos and terrible photos. And, you know, I guess there's a place for them as well. But we thought once things started to grow that, you know, Esther needed her own voice and something to be a little bit more positive and a little bit more easy for people to relate to and that they would actually want to look at, you know, and want to read and come back and check, see what Esther's been up to. We just thought it would be a lot easier for people to connect to that. And, you know, we've heard somebody said a while back that, you know, we're putting a face on food. And that really kind of sunk home with us. So that's exactly what we hope to do, you know, relate to Esther and think of her next time you're out shopping or at the restaurant or whatever you're doing.
I just wanted to point out, too, that you have a fantastic website. So good job on whoever did that.
It's Thank
Esther.
You very much.
You're welcome. It's EstherTheWonderPig.com. It's just really great. I love all the quotes that you have on it and the visuals, and it's just really accessible. And it's got that light and fun spirit to it, as you were saying. You just want people to be able to relate.
Absolutely.
And I also think that there is some power to that, because I've noticed on a lot of the comments on the photos that you have there, people are saying, oh, we're going to stop eating pork, or we're going to make steps towards becoming vegetarian. And I'm like, super excited that that's the direction that people are going with this.
We're thrilled with that.
Yeah.
It's fun. We're so surprised. And what you're seeing there is just probably half of it, because we get tons of private messages.
Great.
Just people outpouring their stories and their change. And it really is remarkable how many people have come forth and said, you know, this is it. That's our last time we're stopping at the meat aisle. You know, that's the last time we're, you know, that's the last time we're drinking milk. That's the last time we bought a leather coat.
And this was all over just one animal. Can you imagine what can be accomplished when people see that these individuals all have individual personalities on a larger scale, which is why you probably want to start an animal sanctuary, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because people, everybody keeps asking, they want to come and see her. They want to meet Esther. They want to see her and, you know, interact with her the way we're able to, and to have a sanctuary or somewhere that people could come and see them and see them in a happy environment and somewhere that they know that they're safe and that they're comfortable. And it's just unbelievable. You know, I've spoken to a few farmers that had pigs, and they're like, oh, be careful, they're mean and they're aggressive, and you know, never once have we seen that out of Esther. They're a product of their environment, I think.
Exactly.
You know, they're horrified in those farms. They're absolutely terrified. You know, she gets every bit of love that we can possibly give her, and she gives it back 100%.
And I think I actually personally had a dream of also opening a sanctuary, so I'm excited to hear
so
that.
Did I.
Oh,
we all do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No.
And I look forward to seeing that development. And yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, ask you, like, what are some of Esther's favorite things to do or favorite activities?
She loves to sleep. She loves to eat. Those aside, she really likes to play with empty, like, reusable shopping bags. Really likes the crinkling.
That sounds fun.
So shopping day is always a chore to get the bag.
Does she go inside them,
I'm sorry?
Does she go inside them, or she, like, pushes it around, or how does
she shakes it around. She parades around the house with it. She's on top of the world when she has a shopping bag. she loves to chase visiting dogs. She loves to root. She loves to dig. She loves to wrestle. She loves just to hang outside. We have a pen outside built for her on the side of the house during the summer months when she can really root up the gardens. We have a side pen built for her, and it's as wide as the house is, and it's about 15 feet wide by as wide as the house, so I don't know, 40 feet by 15 feet, and it's pitched right full of mulch, and she roots there, she digs, and, you know, she's living the dream.
Are there any kind of cautionary things associated with Esther? Like, I know of some companion animals, like cats, you have to be careful because you could get bit when they're playing sometimes, so when you're, like, wrestling with Esther because she's 300 pounds, are there ever any challenges with that?
Watch your toes. You gotta watch your toes. She doesn't seem to be very aware of her corners yet, so she'll back into you or just climb over you. Like I said, she loves to be on the couch, so both of us can be sitting on the love seat, and she'll come and, you know, climb right over your lap in an attempt to get on the couch. So, you know, you just got to be aware of where her feet are at all times. She never has attempted to bite or anything like that. In fact, even to try to play tug of war with her, it takes a little bit of time to actually get her to put something in her mouth and play with you. She'll usually run, and she kind of charges at you a little bit when we play with her, and we'll leapfrog her. So she'll run at us, and we'll put her hands on her shoulders and jump over you and you know, just kind of wrestle with her that way. So never really any problems other than being stepped on.
On your web presence, you say that Esther knows exactly what you're saying. Can you expand on that? What do you mean by that exactly? She understands everything you're saying?
Well, it's more... Maybe everything may be a bit of a broad statement on it, but it's like dogs. You know what I mean? Like, when you look to your dogs, when we talk to Esther, you know, she looks at you, she responds. You can see the movements in her eyes and in her ears, and she hears you when you're saying things to her. Mm-hmm. And she does respond to commands, you know, when we tell her to come. Sometimes she'll pay attention, again, like a dog. She chooses when she wants to listen and when she doesn't. But, you know, she knows to sit. She knows different commands. She's far more intelligent, I think, than anybody ever gives them credit for.
Yeah.
And again, this is just a regular farm pig. You know what I mean? It's even that one step closer. People, it's easy to say, oh, pot-bellied pig is different than a farm pig, or, you know, mini pigs are different than farm pigs. Well, Esther is a farm pig, so.
And I think there's so much power in these personal stories about, like, it's so hard to connect all the millions and billions of animals that are slaughtered annually. So, it, like, having these personal stories, I think, really help people connect with that animal. And I was just going to ask you, what are your aspirations for Esther's online presence? And what are you hoping, I guess, people get from it or learn?
I mean, we're hoping that people see that, you know, Esther's a loving animal, and that, you know, that she's just like one of the millions of farm pigs that are slaughtered every year. We wanted to put a face on it so people can see that she's a loving, kind animal, and that she's, you know, she's coexisting in a small household with other animals.
It's the personality, too. She's just got so much personality, and it's really hard to explain. We've connected with her just like a dog, and when we look at all these terrible videos, or you see a truck drive past you on the highway, and you know, you see all these little noses looking back at you, I mean, to me, it might as well be a truck full of golden retrievers, if that sounds, again, maybe a bit dramatic, but that's
how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That's connection.
Yeah, exactly, and we want people to kind of fall in love with Esther the way that we have, so it's not so easy to detach yourself. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to not look at those pictures and look at those videos, or, you know, I read another quote somewhere, there's a reason that parents take their kids to pick apples but don't take them to a slaughterhouse. You know, yeah. It's so easier to ignore and not face what's happening and what's going on, and, you know, to actually, like I said, get to know Esther and to know, you know, you can tell when she's upset. We can tell when she's happy. She gets excited to see us when we come home. You know, to see all these personality traits and then to think of the millions of them that are in the farms that are just horrified. It's crazy. We want more people to kind of have that same feeling that we have, you know, and just a little bit more of a deeper connection to what they're supporting.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, I guess, just to end this, what do you think Esther would want to share with our listeners here today?
same thing we've said a couple of times now. Okay. Just, you know, she's the same as all of those other pigs. You know, if you read through those comments, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments about, look at this pretty face, and she's so beautiful, and, you know, how much they love her and how much, you know, people want to meet her and be with her. And, you know, she's no different than the other ones that people ignore and don't think about that we're not seeing. You know, That's the biggest thing I think that Esther would want is to think about all of her relatives and all of the other animals. It's not just about pigs, you know, it's about all of these other animals in the factory farms. And, you know, she just happens to be a face that people seem to be able to identify with, so.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Steve and Derek, and sharing your amazing journey.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hopefully your story inspires many others to think of pigs a little bit differently through Esther's overwhelming personality and zest for life.
We hope so. We hope so, too.
So to learn more about Esther, please go to the Facebook page, Esther the Wonder Pig.
And now we're going to bring you the Armchair Activist Tip of the Week. This is the first one of the new year, and as such, I think it's appropriate that this week's tip is to make a New Year's resolution to help animals. So whatever that is in your own life, we discussed some earlier in the show. Allison shared with us a great list from, what website was that from, Allison?
OneGreenPlanet.org. But I mean, make up your own, and whatever resonates with you, those are just suggestions, but definitely take your own from that.
Yeah, so do you guys have any resolutions for the animals?
Mine's just a personal one, to eat more raw food, but I already don't eat animals, so I don't know if that helps the animals.
That was
anymore.
One of my resolutions last year, I remember, and I achieved that.
To turn everybody vegan.
we're gonna check back with you next year to see if you accomplished that.
There was one Facebook status, which was a friend of ours that said to take down the dairy industry. And I was like, yeah,
that's good. Specific goals. I think SeaWorld's going down this year. That's my thing. But on that note, you've been listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Please join us on next week's show, where Allison will be hosting the show. Allison, could you tell us a little bit about your show next week?
Yes. Yeah, so for our feature interview, we'll have Jennifer Mather on the show. She's a researcher and expert on octopuses, and we'll be having a discussion with her about the lives and intelligence of octopuses. There's a lot more there than you might think, and I had the pleasure of discovering about octopuses recently, so I contacted her. Also, we'll be presenting a little feature, a little segment on down, the practices of obtaining down and feathers to fill up your coats and jackets and possible alternatives. This is something that has been on my mind this winter, as I'm really in search for a down-free coat, but I wanted to educate myself on these practices as well and to bring that information to you. So that's happening next week.
If you want to hear more about next week's show, you can keep connected with us on the World Wide Web. We're available at animalvoices.org. We also have a Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and we're on Twitter, Animal Voices YVR. So we'd love for you to send us your suggestions and comments about the show on Facebook or also through email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And this show will also be available as a podcast on our website. Once again, that's animalvoices.org. So on that note, we're going to bring you some music now.
Yeah, we'll leave you with Change Change by Thistle.
Stay tuned to Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
And remember to be kind to the animals.
Think you can deal with